Flight Remington with Alexis Smith and Joe Henson, and collectively they're known as The Flight, and I'm just really looking forward to talking with you about your score for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's great to have a chance to chat.
And we're very pleased to speak to you as well.
Yeah.
Hi.
We sound very similar, so it may get confusing as we go through.
If I talk like this, you could talk up and
really
squeaky.
High.
And
yeah.
I'm Alexis.
And I'm Joe.
You know, what I've always really appreciated with the Assassin's Creed games is they're very historically informed. In fact, with the newer ones, you can scale church peaks or mountains and get a layout and get a sense of, you know, historical markers and stuff. And so I would love to know just right off the bat what the conversations were like for you guys with Ubisoft and this incredible new adventure in ancient Greece.
Ubisoft take this that very seriously. Actually, we went out to Quebec, and we were amazed at how deeply they do their research. They have a full time historian working in the studio, and it was fascinating actually. And we've been huge fans of the Assassin's Creed franchise for a long time, so it was a bit of an honour coming on board with this.
Mm. Yeah, they'd built Greece. Basically.
Wow.
with ones and zeros. I mean, God knows. But they had gone into so much detail and that definitely, that inspired us massively. A world that, you know, every school child knows about ancient Greece. I mean, certainly in Europe, I'm not sure what it's like in America, but every school child in Europe knows about ancient Greece and has a picture or pictures in their mind as in, when you say the words, and for that to kind of come to life visually, that was massively inspiring for us, because then our job was to bring it to life musically.
We did a lot of research when we came back to the UK, visiting museums. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube now, which is brilliant. And also we went shopping. We went to a lot.
Well, we found quite a lot of there are people in Greece. The thing they like doing is trying to recreate what that ancient music might have sounded like. Obviously, they're very proud of the heritage that they have there. You know, being the cradle of so much sort of wisdom and thought and intelligence. A lot of things that we take for granted now started in ancient Greece.
And a lot of instruments that we play, modern instruments we play now, were invented in those times in that area.
And there's
as well.
People, there's like we have reconstructions of, people who do reconstructions of battles. They have people who do reconstructions of ancient Greek theatre. And of course, in that theatre, they have musicians.
Yeah.
And they have songs and music. And we got to... We try to watch and listen to as much of this as possible before we started. Not to say that we wanted our music to sound like that, because we just wanted that to be one of the elements that we used in our palette.
Yeah.
But it was very inspiring and, yeah, and fascinating.
I can imagine. Well, you know, when I was in music school, the common thing that we were told was, well, there, we just have no idea what ancient Greek music sounded like. But in fact, it kind of sounds like with modern research now that it's been hiding in plain sight all along, where people are linking up the rhythm of the poetry with, that would have been accompanied, and like you say, all the instruments and stuff. So it must have been just so much fun to do all of that research and just put it all together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we read other people's research rather than actually, you know, we couldn't really take credit for their research, but it was fascinating to read about how they, you know, they've put these theories and music together by the pictures on the side of pots that they found, or there's some ancient papyruses that have a very early form of musical notation on them that then people have worked out what that meant and what notes that would correspond to through reconstruction of some of the instruments that they've seen pictures of. Obviously, Pythagoras wrote about modes, which you know is something that the ancient Greeks invented, all the modes that we still learn today, and through that they've been able to build up quite, I mean, it seems like a convincing picture of what things might have sounded like then.
Yeah,
and yet, as you say, it's not a music history lesson. It's alive. It's as alive as the world that we get to visit in the game, which is just so cool. And you had mentioned, both of you, that you loved film scores. And what it reminded me of, this score, is Maurice Jarre's music for Lawrence of Arabia and Dr. Zhivago. Because you just get a taste, just a hint of it, just enough to kind of really get a sense of place.
I used to listen to film scores when I was a kid. I was one of those kids who listens to the Batman, the Danny Elfman Batman score, and even Roger Rabbit, and I was obsessed with them. So will have influenced. I don't think we went out of our way to make it sound like a film score.
But I think because it's such an epic story and countryside and, you know, things that happen to the player in it, I think that's where it naturally fell. Going back to what you were saying, you're right, we didn't want it to sound like a piece of ancient Greek music, but what we love doing, especially on projects like this, because we work on a lot of different things, and obviously we don't want everything just to sound like The Flight. We want to make our music sympathetic to the thing that we are writing it for, and as such, that we use that ancient Greek sound, or the guess at what people think it sounded like, almost as the artist, as a starring artist in our score for that. Like when we work with singers or artists, you know, our music should be sympathetic to what they want to do. Well, we wanted to use the rest of our music to be sympathetic to the ancient Greek music that we wanted to kind of feature at the heart of it.
Yeah, we also like to, I'm digressing now, but we like to learn to play instruments on our projects. We like to go and buy instruments from the time, and then throughout the project we kind of learn how to play them. So when we, during our research, we went shopping and we bought lots of instruments that we could trace the lineage back to the music, the instruments from the ancient Greeks. So that was another big thread that ran through the score of the game was us just basically working out how to play these things.
Well, you managed it very well, because
well, there's also good editing software these
we
days.
We a lot of the stuff we do is we pick up instruments and we work, as long as Alexis is amazing at editing audio, so we get it all bang into time and stuff. But we also like the naivety and of the sound of you know, when you first start trying to play instruments, it's very imperfect,
and it makes it sound different. There's no, we haven't done anything else that used the ancient Greeks as an influence, and I doubt we'll ever do so again. Yeah. But that's what gives it an individuality and an originality, because that is difficult nowadays, you know, because there is so much music being made and so much music already existing. So you've got to find something different.
Yeah.
Thank you.
and the instruments that you chose, I think, really do that, because you've got harps and lyres and pan flutes and a rebec, which is very, very cool, bowed instrument, a bouzouki. I mean, you can't have Greek music without a bouzouki.
No, although it's obviously not an ancient instrument, but it's still an important Greek instrument.
It's the sound of Greece, yeah. I mean, the bowed psaltery as well, is that how you say it? Psaltery was fantastic as well, quite a screeching sound, but that really added a lot of texture to a lot of the music as well.
Mm. Yeah, and the palette that you've got is so interesting, because you really get a sense, you know, as you're like traveling around in the world, that the music is just such a perfect fit.
Right at the beginning of the game, we were given all the map with all the biomes on it.
And so the different parts of the Greek world were split up into five zones.
Yeah.
So we had the Peloponnese, which is the Spartan heartland. We had Attica, which was the home of the Athenians. Then they separated out into the southern volcanic islands, the Paradise Islands, and the
Arid Islands.
And then the Arid Islands.
Yeah, so we at the beginning of the game, at the beginning of the process, we sat down and we worked out, just between talking between ourselves, what we think those areas would sound like. And then with those instruments, we would say, okay, this place, so when you're in the forest, that's where you hear
the forest as well. That was another.
That's where you hear the pan flute a lot.
No, that was Paradise.
Is it?
Yeah.
So the forest is you singing.
Yeah,
the forest is Alexis singing.
No, the forest is some really old, ancient Greek bloke that we summoned up from the past. It's not me.
It's Alexis singing. and then we did the pan flute, and we split up. There were some instruments that we played all the way through, but we kind of cordoned off and applied rules for each area of the map.
Yeah, we wanted to give each, you know, I'm sure it's something we'll talk about more later, but it is a massive game, lots of music to write, and we wanted to give each area that the player explores and discovers a different sound. Now it might seem quite subtle to begin with, but one of the main reasons for it was helping us to write so much music.
It sounds counterintuitive to apply strict rules, but it actually really helps you. You can go, right, where are we on the map? Okay, these are the instruments that we're using.
Mm.
And it really, especially when you do the cutscenes at the end, you can just go, okay, where are we? Who is it? All right, we've got their themes, but we're in this area, so we're going to do it on these instruments. And it's a really good way of keeping ourselves fresh in a way.
Yeah, definitely. And since you're working with so many different areas, if you got, you know, sort of ran out of ideas for one, you could always go to another place. And
Well, they keep us moving around. Ubisoft understand the stuff, so they'll keep us moving around the map and keep it interesting for us.
Yeah, one of the first things we did was kind of blueprint each of the areas, and that you know, obviously what we wrote down on paper at the beginning changed as we went along, because you discover things more when you're actually playing and writing and seeing the visuals and seeing if it fits. But we kind of blueprinted each of the areas first. And then we had to write a lot more after that for each one, so you don't just keep hearing the same piece of music over and over again. Yeah. But because we'd done that blueprint, that made that job a lot easier.
The thing with...
Because you can do anything with music. Yeah, exactly. You can do anything with music. You can have any instrument
with
nowadays.
The computers as well, yeah.
And play in any way. But that's too much choice.
The unique thing with game scores as well is because they're so long, you don't get to reuse your themes very often. So when you're doing a film, you can write a suite of music and reuse the themes throughout the film. On a game, you'll write a suite of music, then the music supervisor will then implement them into the game, and he will or she will reuse the themes.
Yeah, apart from this, the actual main theme of the game, we did get to do that.
Yeah, that main theme, The Legend of the Eagle Bearer, wow. It's just like, it's amazing. And what I really love about it, first of all, that is like an incredibly just powerful piece of music. But then the way that you were able to work it in, it's almost like a little motive, not even like a real theme, but it just kind of weaves its way through a lot of different cues. So was that one of the first pieces that you wrote?
I think it was actually the second piece that we did. We did what you know as A Happy Family first, that was the story of the kind of the tragic side of the character.
The family, yeah.
But then we wanted to, we did the main theme, we wanted to do a rock and roll piece about the person just being a hard-ass Spartan mercenary,
yeah.
and who's on an epic adventure.
We sat down and we looked at him and went, no, this is rock and roll, this is kind of in-your-face rock and roll, and
he jumps about, he kicks people off cliffs,
we stood at the computer, actually I remember the two of us, and we just got, no, it's like this, and kind of yelled at each other.
Come on, let's, yeah. So me, Joe, and Mike Georgiadis, who played on a lot of this score, we got up a rhythm. We each grabbed an instrument and we jammed.
Basically.
Yeah,
and it came together very quickly.
Yeah, all in one morning.
Yeah.
You guys just had great synergy that morning?
Yeah, I mean, me and Joe, we always have good synergy because we spend most of our time together.
Yeah. but we have got to a stage now where we can kind of look at each other and we know what each other's thinking.
But we had a couple of really good videos
sent by
Ubisoft, and we each had something that that instantly said to us, and I think we combined.
It clicked.
Those things.
It clicked. It was quite scary for Mike because he was new to us, our studio environment, and we were quite shouty that day. So he had to be.
We were Spartan warriors.
So he looked quite scared, but we did it. We took
off our tops. We got our swords out.
We blasted through it, and we knew but, this is it.
You're right. We knew that, while we're doing it, we knew that you could sing this melody softly as well, and it takes on a totally different character.
Yeah.
So we did need something like that. We knew we needed something that could do a few different.
And it is very simple. Emotions. It is very simple. The family theme is.
But we're fans of simpleness, aren't we?
No, exactly. Exactly.
We like simple.
We like simple melodies and.
Actually,
and
someone on Twitter told us off for the melody being too simple, didn't they?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.
No, but the thing about a simple melody is then you can change it. You can, turn it upside down and backwards, or just, modify major to minor or whatever. And it's still the theme. And so it seems like it's a lot more flexible.
And your children can learn it.
Yeah, your kids are singing, which is great. Yeah. But also it's very useful to have a motif like that, which you can weave into the end of a cutscene, or just get into and remind people of where they are. And you can bring the story back to the individual character who you're playing.
Yeah.
Very simply, without really ramming it down.
Just by going, da, 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 da.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Without, I get fed up with, I'm not going to name any names of the films, but films where they hammer you with this theme all the time. And I like just, you can do that much more subtly if you have a subtle motif like that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. The other melody that turns up from time to time is the Odyssey cue. And that absolutely beautiful singer. She's phenomenal. Who is that?
That's the piece I was talking about before, which the original of that is A Happy Family, which is what we call the family theme. So that's the theme that that we wrote to kind of talk about the protagonist's background and the tragedy that happens to them. Don't want to spoil any stories, people who haven't played it yet, but
that's sung. There's two sung versions of that, aren't there? There's one by Fanny
Perrier Rochas.
She sang a traditional translation of it, and then Emma Rowan did the modern version of it. And Emma sings on a lot of our music, and she also wrote the lyrics and some of the melodies for the in-game diegetic songs as well.
Όσον όναρ ακολούθη αρεστητών ή τόρων οι δεήραρους ή τους τολμώντας ευκαρδίως προσκοπήν των σφών πότμων. Παγκαλένησε ηλιόμου και τας πέμπτες Exilionis condos Elove mirona Sosese Is atrapos Nonimus Anapalinis To parestion Salpos Metemion Lelopo Proelu Μασούμεθα υπομέλαν ουρανού με θεύνους ονομάτων αθεί αναπνέωμεν εσμεν τες ήρες μη μεταξύ των τυρών δέντρων οκλήθωνες με εσύνοντε ζωμεν ελπίζοντες Exilionis quandos Elove mirona Sosisse Is atrapos Nonimus Anapalinis To parestion talpos
the whole thing, the way it just is tied together with those melodies is really phenomenal. And there are some other characters, too, that you were able to portray in your music. But first, I was wondering, since, you know, the player gets a choice of playing as Alexios or Cassandra, did you differentiate their music at all, or is it the same no matter who you choose?
We had to make it so it worked with both of them.
Early on, when they were initially animating the characters, they both had the same walk, and it changed later. But we kind of looked and said, "Oh, that's cool. They're completely interchangeable. It doesn't have they're Spartans more than they're male or female." That's what we were kind of trying to get across. Mm. We've done Horizon Zero Dawn and Alien Isolation, both female.
All our three big games have been female protagonists.
But we try not to, maybe slightly more in Horizon, but we try not to make our music gender specific.
It doesn't need to be.
It's more their personality.
It's not just. I mean, Alexios or Cassandra, they're both kicking you off a cliff and impaling you on a spear. So, I mean,
it would be based on their personality, and they're both. Aloy's a different character, so we're writing her character, not a gender specific piece of music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome because, there's no reason for them to be different. And the other thing that I thought was just really, really cool is the way you portrayed some of the side characters, not really side characters, but they are secondary characters, like their mother.
Yeah, Ubisoft wanted, later on in the process, they wanted the sort of 10 to 12 main characters that you come across, they wanted each of them to have their own kind of mini theme, mini signature piece of music.
Yeah, like Phoebe as well, the orphan.
Phoebe, Socrates, Barnabas, Mirin, Elpenor, all the kind of important secondary characters. And so, at that point we had to find each of their sounds. Now, by that point we'd written quite a lot of the music for the game, so there are influences from, depending on where you find these people or which faction they're based with. So Socrates and Herodotus are Athenian, so we use the Athenian palette for them. We try and make the music quite classical and learned. there's a general called Brasidas, who's a Spartan general, so we use the Spartan palette and make it quite warlike.
My favourite character, non-player character, is Phoebe. And she has quite a story up. Again, I'm not going to give it away, but you get through a lot of emotions with her. Mm. And there's a cutscene later on in her story, which is one of my favourite pieces in it. It was fascinating doing all the characters actually, and the really thematic stuff for them. It was great.
Yeah, I'll bet, because being able to define a character with music has got to be a really interesting challenge. Because you think about
it's not always easy. We actually those were some of the pieces that we did and redid some of the most times, because also it's completely subjective. You know, they would send us a video of one of them, and we'd think, oh right, that's that they're like this, and we'd play something, and then they'd listen to it and come back and go, oh no, we didn't, they're not like that at all, they're like this, you know. And so it's very, you know, we haven't played the game as much as them, and sometimes character traits are very subjective, aren't they?
It's also difficult sometimes writing a piece which somebody starts off as a goodie and then ends up as a baddie.
A
challenge. Especially with the amount of minutes we're doing, and sometimes you have to squeeze a lot into a couple of minutes. So doing layered music systems where you have an amusing version and a scary version that has to be able to sit on top of each other is quite a challenge.
Actually, it's impossible. So you just end up doing two different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and then you've got to think about breaking it up so that it becomes stems and stuff too, and it's
exactly.
That's writing music for games. That's one of the challenges of it.
Then you got to write all these amazing boss battle scenes too.
Yes, they're exhausting.
Yeah,
they're exhausting.
We love doing those pieces, but you can't do like two in a row. You have to do one and recharge with some gentler music. But you can't just do them constantly, can you?
But the fights with the factions, they were really good fun, because those again, they were jams basically with Mike. Especially
things that we said rules. We said the Spartans, when you're fighting the Spartans it's going to sound like this. When you're fighting the Athenians, it's going to sound like this. When you're fighting the bandits, it's going to sound like this.
Like a scrap,
because we needed that music to have a different feel to it, each of them, or else you just, you know, you do a lot of fighting in Assassin's Creed. We didn't want it all just to sound the same.
We should talk about what were the rules we applied to the Athenians? Were
so we used the palette for Attica, so the lead instruments were the hammer, dulcimer, and the lyre.
And the music was a lot more ordered, wasn't it, with them, because they are learned people.
Thank you.
Then the Spartans were more warlike.
It was bouzouki and
more martial,
military style drums. then the bandits, it was more chaotic.
It was a scrap, wasn't it?
It was a scrap.
But we jammed them all. Basically, Alexis would lay down a rough rhythm, and then we would just sit and jam and record them as they came out, basically.
What's so cool about having the soundtrack is that you can listen to them side by side and, like, really hear a difference with the Spartan fight and then Athenian fighters. And the difference is very obvious in the soundtrack, more than it would be maybe as you're playing the game, because you have to, like, roam around and there's a lot more time in between.
No, I'm glad you said that, though, because you get to some points and, you know, we wanted them to sound different, but you get to a certain point in epicness, you know, you've got to use big drums. You've got to have, rhythms that make an impact. And sometimes that can, you lose the subtlety. That can sometimes even everything out, which can get boring.
Yeah, well, the boss battles are, I wouldn't call them subtle, but...
Well, they're not really very subtle things, are they?
No, the creatures were good fun to do as well, the Cyclops and those things. They were fantastic to do. Yeah. I like the Cyclops. I think your favourite is the Medusa, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
They're both incredible. What I loved about... The music for Medusa is, you can kind of hear, you know, her, like, head of snakes. There's this kind of slithery quality to it.
We got Emma in to do some.
Yeah, we got her to do we actually wrote something in Greek.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you what it was, but
no.
We wrote something in Greek and then got her to record it in a sort of creepy, whispery way. And then we reversed it and manipulated it and then got her to scream.
That was nice to be unmusical with that. We just wanted to kind of scary and otherworldly. We really enjoyed it. Alexis was the one who really pushed that through. It was great.
That was one of those myths that I loved as a kid. And you could see that labyrinth and all the stone statues of warriors in it. Now, it's such a powerful story, isn't it? And one that everyone knows.
And that cutscene is amazing because you can see her turning people to stone with her eye beams, you know, just right off the bat. So it's very cool. What was it about the Cyclops, the music for the Cyclops battle that you really liked?
So that was where we used the drums, wasn't it? It was the large drums and the choir.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first ones we did. And it's one of the first creatures you come across, I think, in the game as well. And maybe it's because it's the first one we did, but
and you got to go and record that amazing choir in Bulgaria.
I did. The Bulgarian choir we went and recorded was fantastic, and they sing lower than anybody else in the world. So we found them out and I flew out to Bulgaria and spent a day recording with them. They were extraordinary.
Did you use them for the Cult of Cosmos?
Yes, we did, and the ship battle as well. We used them on that. They're extraordinary singers. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That cult music is just downright terrifying, honestly.
our jumping off point for that was the opening music to The Shining. So that, wow. that was what we, when we sat down, that was there's the piece of music in the beginning of The Shining with the organ. That's where we kind of jumped off from with that idea. I don't know where that's just came
more
to
of
mind.
A concept than anything solid.
That kind of rolling kind of ambiguous melody came. Yeah. Okay, that was the we sat and we listened to that because that's a really cool way of writing. And that's where that kind of jumped off from.
The first time I heard it, I remember hearing something about how ancient Greek music would start with this huge chord. It sounded like chaos.
Yeah. A lot of the reconstruction stuff that I've heard, especially the theatrical things, yes. They start off everyone just playing their instruments all at once. It's like a cacophony, and then it stops, and then just a single thing will come out of the silence.
Thank you.
how long did you have to write the music?
This was actually quite a quite a quick turnaround for a game.
Yeah, we had just long enough to not quite long enough for this one. We had about 18 months, which is a push.
But we've always dreamt of literally of our whole career saying we want to work on one day we'll work on a project where we'll cancel all the other jobs and we'll just do one project, and this was it. Mm. And it was we had to work at a real pace.
Yeah.
But it was amazing to just work on one project for that amount of time.
And you've never done it before. Completely get into that world.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I was wondering if when you first got the instruments after you went out on your shopping expedition, if you could hear a difference from the early tracks to the later ones as you got better at playing them?
My panpipe. I improved my panpipe playing.
Yeah.
Still makes me dizzy, but I'm much better at playing it than I was at the beginning.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I think it's still... Although 18 months might sound like a long time to some people... It's actually, to us, it kind of went in a blur. It's not that long, really. It's not long enough to really notice a massive difference.
We're really good at tuning them.
We got quicker at tuning them.
They have a lot of strings, and at the beginning, it would take us forever to tune them, but now we can tune everything pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That's a handy skill. I mean,
I may retire and become a piano tuner.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, besides the specific cues that we've talked about, are there any others that kind of surprised you with the way that they turned out, or some that you had to, it was a real challenge to kind of wrangle them?
I think the sea battle, I don't know what it's called on the album.
They gave everything titles. We know it as naval battle. It was...
Conflict on the Seas?
Conflict on the Seas, that's it.
That surprised me because we've never written for a choir before. And we got the choir to do some pretty interesting things on it, and I think that was an epic thing that I didn't know how it would sound. I know we wanted to get in the orchestra the sound of the waves and things like that, but that was the one where I go, oh my god, that sounds amazing. Once we recorded the choir. And you know, we sit in our room together and bash things out on the keyboard. I'm not trained at all, so it's all done by ear. And to be able to send sitting with musicians of singers of that stature, that was the one that really kind of blew me away, I think. Mm.
Mine was what you know as Pirates, Thugs and Bandits, because that was we had a concept of this before that we really wanted to work. We had this video of a famous Greek musician who was playing it was a stringed instrument, and he was just playing it with a single percussionist, and the sound they were making was amazing. It was changing all the time. It was changing meter. It was changing BPM. But it was such powerful music, even though there was just two players there. And this is the battle when you fight the bandits, so the people who aren't affiliated to any faction in the game. And that's what we wanted to get a feeling of this into that. We'll be right back. We've done a lot of fight music for games, but this was really it was quite a different way of approaching this. I don't think it sounds like any other fight music in a game at the moment.
Yeah.
We wanted it to sound completely live, and just have loads and loads of energy in the playing, in the way it was played.
We also learned a lot about meter actually, and about you know, because we come from bands where most things are in four.
Yeah.
And learning that you can just sticking a couple of beats at the end of bars and being really free with the meter in a way that people don't notice at all. We were really surprised that we could really mess around with the time signatures without.
Yeah, and that was something we learned again from some of the from in our early listening period, a lot of the reconstruction and the really old Greek music. One of the main things we learned from it was that it mostly has a pulse, but it doesn't necessarily have bar lines.
Yeah,
it's more everything's just done on feel, and we really liked that, didn't we?
Yeah.
And as soon as we started writing, you can hear it in the family theme. Family theme's not in 4/4. We've had to put it
across the bars, doesn't it?
Yeah, the melody goes across the bars. There's strange gaps between phrases, but when you just listen to it, it makes sense.
Yeah, it flows. That actually is, thinking about that, is the biggest
That's
thing.
That's the main thing, isn't it? We've used that since in things we've done since, actually.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun to take all of these, maybe not necessarily all the instruments, but certainly the things that you've learned about and apply them to whatever project you're working on next, which I'm sure you can't talk about.
We'll probably have to leave the instruments for a while until people have forgotten about, honestly.
but we really have learned, and from just playing in a room together with a group of people, and realising how free you can be with, you know, we were doing something today and we said, oh, let's just take a bar off there. Let's take a beat off that bar and making something flow and not stumble over.
You don't even think about it. You don't have to think about those things. You just record it how you feel it and sound it, and you can work out, you know, how the sequencer should look afterwards. It's not the important thing. I think we get a bit bogged down with that in the West. Especially the more classically trained you are.
Yeah.
Well, I can hear how live your studio is. I mean, there's a lot of resonance there. And so were you able to use it almost like as an extra instrument as you were doing the mixes and setting things up?
So we're not very precious. When we first moved into the studio, when Alexis was away, and I hadn't got any equipment in the room, and I moved in, and he rang me, and I couldn't hear myself speaking in the room. It was so live sounding. But we're not precious about it. We've filled it with some books, and we've deadened the sound a little bit that way. There's a street outside. We're on the ground floor. There's cars going by.
But it's vibey.
There's one of the pieces of music. You can hear birds singing, and that's literally just, it's the birds outside the window because we were recording it in
spring.
What piece is that?
That was the family thing.
The family thing.
The very, very beginning of that. You can hear birds. basically we were recording a very quiet bit at the beginning there. For some reason, the birds, you know, they didn't take any notice of us starting our biggest project ever, and they just carried on singing, and so we did the take that we liked the best of that phrase at the beginning. There was a bit of birds on it, and so instead of thinking, "Oh, we can't use that," what we did is we just added more birds, and said, "Well, you know, this is the Greek spring.
Yeah,
you know, this is the family. They live in the countryside. You know, there's birds.
I always thought we'd have to go back and but it was the vibe of that.
No,
of
it
the
works perfectly.
Was so
yeah.
well. Yeah, it was yeah. so good. And we just left it on.
Yeah, no, it's a nice touch because it really, again, puts you right in this environment and it seems really real because you're
just... Yeah, they would send us environment recordings a lot, you know, to get us... Oh, here's... They would just send us an audio file of, let's say, the Peloponnese, and it would be the bees buzzing and the birds singing and the sound of the grass. You know, it's the...
Yeah, they wanted that in Odyssey as a whole. They recorded amazing soundscapes of each of the regions and everything. And actually, the region, the Peloponnese region, was spring, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it fitted perfectly.
Luckily,
thanks, birds.
But we're not precious about over cleaning things. We've only got a couple of microphones. We close
mic everything,
and they're not fancy mics. And we get it, and it's mainly about the performance and the vibe of the recording, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of those close mic'd tracks are really interesting because it's like you're just right there, right next to the musicians.
That's what I like in
we
the sound.
We don't like to overprocess too much, although there is a lot of process.
But also, I don't know if you. I mean, you know, we both started making records, making, you know, pop music and electronic music and records and mostly with that kind of music, you do close mic. And you know, I first started recording things in the early 90s of trip hop and very dry vocals that were right up close and very compressed and everything, and that's the sound I like. I like, if a lead instrument, I like it to be really, really up front and right in front of you.
And also coming from working in dance music, where the interesting thing that you'd sample and loop will be the thing with a strange sound or the thing with a slight mistake in it or a little edge in it. So we love that in our recording as well. Again, we said, you know, Alexis tidies things up, but he's tidying things up with timing and getting things to swing and sit right. But it's not, we don't polish all the sounds and stuff. So it's always quite raw, the things that come out of our studio. Mm.
Yeah, well, it works perfectly with the ancient Greek stuff, and then to be able to use, you know, like really modern sounds too for the segments of the game that are in like the now time or not too distant future, like Enter the Animus. I mean, that's such a cool wash of sound, and the way you've referenced some of the Greek themes too.
That's I mean, you know, you, although Assassin's Creed, yes, they are you know, a big part of it is the historical settings of each one. It is fundamentally a science fiction story, and all the you know it high it's the Animus is a
high
very high technology. Thing and all the scores, actually, when you listen to past scores, everything has that kind of science fiction element, and ours no exception. actually, when some of the bigger battles, we started to get a bit more of that in, and then
a lot of guitars in those, and
yeah, and some synths creeping into some of the Quest music and things like that.
Yeah.
And as you say, the place where you can hear it the most is the music we did for the modern day settings.
Yeah, for sure. But Alexis and Joe, it's been so much fun talking with you, and I just really appreciate your time. So thanks so much.
No problem.
Thank you.